Welcome to the interview portion of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Before we get going here with our interview with Barry Brokaw, just a reminder that this episode is sponsored by Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running specialty store. You can get everything that you need running-wise, from shoes to apparel, gear, socks, food, down at 917 West Central Entrance up in the mall area in Duluth here. And for more information, just pop on over to austin-jaro.com.
And we are here with our interview portion of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We are joined by Barry Brokaw, local runner who's been at it for a long time. Barry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mike and Tony.
What have you been up to with your running here in the summer of 2020, with summer of no races?
I guess for me, I think it's become such a part of who I am that I just get up every day and just run. So I probably run like anywhere from, 6 to 8 miles every morning, and I still on Saturdays run 10 to 16. So
yeah.
If anything, I'm doing a little bit less on the weekend. I mean, because of not any big races coming up, but still trying to just keep 50, 60 miles and just try to hold a fitness level, I guess, so don't get myself too out of shape before the races come up, hopefully next year.
Do you feel a little bit sort of like, I don't know, even a sense of relief or at least less pressure just having this summer being the way that it's been?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think the races are always, I always look forward to the races, but the biggest thing is just the lifestyle thing for me is keeping my weight under control and my mental health. And so the races are like a little bit down for me, they're a little bit further down for me, but it's still, I do like having a goal, and it's a little bit harder sometimes for me because of, in the past, I always had another race set up before I finished one race. I always had like my next race already kind of paid for so I'm trying to like mentally just kind of get to that. And as the races are canceling too, you're kind of coming to that, I was, even when Whistle Stop canceled, there was a part of me thinking, are they going to have it? So now that's basically in my mind the last week or two with everything pretty much coming to a close, I don't foresee any races doing it, so like mentally having to come to that grips of just not racing.
So you've been able to reframe pretty well and just kind of roll with the punches.
I think it's just such a thing, and I'm trying to think of the word, routine for me, that I just get up and run. And so it'd be so much different for me if I, even when I have a hard time taking even a day off. My day off is just a real easy 5 miler or so. I think so. It's, for me, I just get up and run. And so it's not been quite as hard for me, I guess.
That's the routine for a while now? You just get up in the morning and run?
Yeah, I think probably for at least the last, 7 years, I would say, that I just get up. I get up, and that my job had changed about 5 years ago, and I work at 8, so it really allows me to get up about 5:30. And I just, the alarm comes up, and I just get up and go, whatever I do that day, it's usually an hour 15 before work, and I just kind of, so it feels odd every once in a while. I take a day off, and people that are around me that, are like, you need to take a day off, and it's kind of hard because I'm just, it's just my routine. So for me to sleep in and just not go run, I feel like something's missing in the day,
I need that. I'm like so sleepy in the morning, like, I'll run two times tomorrow instead, terrible.
I do try to get, I'm pretty good about getting myself to bed, but I do take, a lot of times I will say I'm going to take tomorrow off. I'll sleep in, I feel like off a little bit the whole day, like I'm missing something.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'll be like, I get done with work at 4:30 and I'm like, I look at my running shoes and I'll go for an hour run even though I was going to take that day off. You know what I mean? Because I just know there's a physical and the mental part of it that I just, my body needs it. I think I don't take any medicines like that. I think, but it is a part of my mental health. I think it's, almost, not that I would say I'm a depressed person, but I think it's like almost like a little bit of an antidepressant.
Oh, for sure.
Pill. You need, you're looking for your little bit of a runner's high and for sure. So I just have it as a routine that, I don't skip too many days, which I'm sure I would probably be a better runner if I took more days off, but I always figure, I'm kind of more about the mental health and physical part.
What's
weight
the point?
Control. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it difficult to get into that routine or,
Oh, for sure. Because I think in the past, part of my, running has been about a weight control and dealing with weight. And I think in the past, I always was it, I would get in, I get so pumped about exercise and like a lot of people do, and you're just exercising every day. And then after, say, 2 weeks, a month, whatever time it is, just like you get in a routine, you just take a day off or 2 days off, and that 2 days becomes three, the 3 days becomes a week. The next thing you know, you're not doing it at all.
Yeah.
So I think in my mind, I know how that can go. So I think that's kind of what keeps me motivated.
Hmm.
I don't like to miss too many days, because I always think, like, I've been doing this for many years, you know, the exercise off and on, and, you know, dealing with my, you know, just the weight control and things like that. So if I miss a day or two, I get a little bit nervous, like I'm going to go back in the past from years ago, you know, and I'll stop running altogether, right?
Yeah.
And I know that my life, everything feels a lot better when I can run or just have the exercise portion to it, you know, for sure.
So when did you start running?
I go back, well, I guess the first time I started running was in the military, back in the early 90s of the military. So that's what, you know, in the military was never quite like this. You run a 2 mile run. I mean, a long run in the military was like a 5 miler or something, but I really did enjoy it back then when I was in the military. And then, you know, I got away from it. It was always on my mind though. Even if I didn't run for a year or something like that, I still remember like how much I loved the aspect of running.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was back in the military doing that. You know, the 2 miler is your race in the military, but mostly, you know, up to like 5 miles, but not to this level. So that's where, yeah. And I actually ran, I always laugh because I was in the military. So in 92, I ran Grandma's in 1992.
Okay.
And never ran more than like 8-9 miles in my life.
You must have been like 20, 21.
Yeah. And I never ran like, never, you know, one of those guys, you know, it's like, and that was before like chipped in. I, you know, it's like, but I still remember running that thing, and it was like, I had a buddy that trained for it, and he, like, 2 weeks before, he's like, Barry, you should do it, or something. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Thing, like, you know, you're 20, naive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know, I had no idea of that distance, and I still remember that day like it was yesterday, because there was so much pain involved. And I was actually proud of myself when I got to the halfway point, you know, of the half marathon, because I had never ran more than 9 miles.
Wow.
And I still remember the sign, you know, they have the typical sign, you know, you're halfway done, you know, and on that aspect of that day, I mean, my legs were locking up. I was actually on the side of the road just trying to stretch things out, not realizing that it wasn't, your quads are fried. And I was thinking I was going to stretch them out, right? I was like, I never felt things like that in my life. I'm on the side of the road just like this on my back, and, you know.
Oh, no.
And it was like towards the end, it was difficult to even walk when you haven't, you know.
Right,
but I think I came in, and I think my time was like 5:20 something, you know. But you know, the first half might have been in 2 hours, and the second half was three. You know, and I still remember at the end, I remember a kid, you know, typical young kid, maybe 10 years old, came up, was looking at me, and he's like, "Did you walk the whole way?" Because I was walking, and I'm, you know, at Grandma's back then in like 92, wasn't quite like it is now. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of the 5 to 6 hour people, you know, back then. If you were, I mean, it was pretty, you know. I think people that ran marathons in the early 90s tend to be pretty, you know, the group itself was just probably a faster finish, you know, where now you have a lot more of the people that run the 5-6 hour marathons and marathons. Back then, it was like, I was kind of like, the guy in front of me was a block ahead, the guy, you know what I mean, at that ass, you know, so it was kind of like, you're on your own. So the kid was like, "Did you walk the whole thing?" And you're like, here I was kind of like, you know, I never had any thoughts of quitting it though, but you know, now I think I might have just said, that's enough of this and do it again, but I just did, you know,
I mean, at that point, having not really trained, like, you're just, you probably didn't even know enough to know that this would be just a huge struggle.
And
right?
I even had another buddy. So my one friend that actually trained, my other buddy, he was in better shape than me, and he signed up. He went to like the pre-race dinner, and he actually signed up the night before. You could in 92, you could actually, because they weren't full.
Right.
You literally, like, you know, races sometimes do, I mean, I don't know, they didn't have race morning, but he actually, he went to the dinner. Uh-huh. And he actually, they had a booth where you could, he's like, "I'm going to do it." And he was like 5 hours, and he messed up his knee. We couldn't even run all summer, but he did even something similar to me, you know, like he signed up the night before, you know, and that's, you could actually sign up at Grandma's in 92. You could sign up the night before. So
nice.
We still, my buddy and I will still talk about it. And that was his first and last marathon ever. You know, he'd been in the he was in the military at the time too, you know. So
are you from Duluth or?
Superior.
Superior.
So, yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah.
It's hard to believe that 1992 was more or less 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's just kind of in my mind trying to think back.
Yeah.
As you get older, too, you try to, that's with age, right? You kind of like, Right. You talk about something, it was like, well, wasn't that like a few years ago? When you look back, it was like, wait a minute, that was 8 years ago.
Right, the 90s were that long ago. It doesn't seem like it, but they were.
So the 92 marathon finished, and then where was your running career from there?
I think it would probably the next few years after that, I did dial it back. I didn't run grandma's half. I ran the half because I think back in 92, that's kind of when the half started.
Mm-hmm.
I did a few grandma's halves. And maybe more of like 5 milers, like Park Point 5 miler or stuff like that. But I wasn't quite to this level that I am right now, as far as just getting up in the morning and running and that kind of stuff like that. But I was exercising. I did Stairmasters and things like that. But it really has been about the last, I would say, 10 years or so. 10 years, I think, of just really running being the sport that I enjoy the most as far as exercise goes. But
sure,
yeah, back in, I think the first time I ran grandma's half was maybe, I want to say 95, and you got a patch. I still have the patch. Oh, I'm not cool. Sure if you would sew that on your shirt or something, too. Even my medal for grandma's in 92, I still have that thing. It's traveled with me through the years. I don't know how it's kept with me.
Yeah.
And it's really almost like a little medal like this big.
Oh, funny.
And the ribbon is almost like you would get a Track-O-Rama or whatever day when I was in high school. It's pretty mild now,
But
that's what races really, they really get the medals to be this spectacular thing.
Like a 2-inch?
Yeah, it was about, It's like maybe a silver dollar size.
That's funny. Yeah, you say this big, but people listening.
Red and white, the ribbon, that's probably like a stock ribbon, red, white, and blue ribbon.
It just says finisher on it or something? No,
I think it does have the date on there, but it's pretty small. So that was kind of interesting. So every once in a while, I show if I've shown that to people that are been running, for running grandma's, now you get all this other,
the medal budget has increased since that 92 quite a bit, huh?
I'm sure it was like $1, and now they're probably $10-$15 for the races to each medal or something like that. So
it's like doing other activities or exercising, Stairmaster. Were you thinking like, why am I not running right now? Or how'd you gravitate towards running as your main?
Well, the thing is my weight has been a big thing. So I've been a real heavy guy at one point in my life. So I think when I got heavier, running was so much more difficult.
Mm.
So I would use the Stairmaster sometimes to get myself back into shape that I could run,
Right.
I've actually, I've ran, 10, 12 years ago, I ran grandma's half marathon, and that was probably like 260, 270 pound guy. I always laugh because I have a picture of myself finishing with all these people, and I actually, that half marathon, it was 158. And I look at myself next to people, and I'm like, they're probably, and I'm not, at the 158, the guy that weighs like 270. I look at myself like, what the heck is, this guy, but I was still trying to run, even as a big guy, I was running as much as I could to try to get my weight down into a more reasonable level to be that, but
right.
So, but
sure.
I used it, as a for weight control, So my story is a long time ago. I used to weigh over 400 pounds in my life, and so used running and the Stairmaster to get down, but the running to really just kind of keep off the weight. So that's my
sure.
Yeah.
And when was that? At your heaviest?
Oh, heaviest probably was 14 years ago or something like that, So, yeah, I was a pretty heavy guy then. So if someone said, did you run in the beginning? But I did the Stairmaster in the beginning, and then when my weight got down, I got myself back to running. And it was one of those things that people always ask me, like, how do you, say they have a weight problem and they're trying to lose weight, and how do you start? And I say, run a block, walk 2 blocks. You start doing that, and eventually it reverses and those kinds of things. How do you get,
right.
You don't just go from zero running to all of a sudden you just go run 5 miles. You just have to be amazed at trying to push yourself further. So
yeah,
I've been there before with the, I've ran the, the 11, 12 minute mile, and I've ran the 6 minute mile. So and sometimes the 12 minute mile feels a lot harder than the, as far as people always say,
right.
They look at someone's time and say, well, they really worked hard. I said, sometimes the person that's running the 12 minute mile maybe working even that much harder than the person running the 5 or 6, So you can't look at the pace isn't always a thing of effort on people. So
sure.
So I always have a little thing in my heart for some people that are a runner that aren't like, that don't look like a typical runner. People would say they look like the typical runner, I'm always like, we're all in it together, I've been there.
Right.
So
Well, obviously, you know, like on a race results page, they don't factor in your weight, your story, right? It's just a time on a page, so everyone's kind of on that same level playing field. Well, it's not really a level playing field always, right?
Yeah, like, there's age and all those factors in there, too.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, you always do the age grader, right? They should do the weight grader.
Yeah. Or just like...
The 300-pound guy is like, you know what? He's coming in, but he might have got first place, too.
Or, right.
You
know.
Or like, I know we've talked to people who have served in the military, and they're like, I have a piece of shrapnel in my leg or something, and they still run and faster than me or something. Oh, yeah. You know, and so... You know, and that hurts every step or whatever.
Oh, well, yeah. When I ran Boston, sometimes you see the different types of runners that come into Boston, and you see the guys that are running it with, like, no legs, with the blades or something, and the effort that these guys are, I couldn't imagine doing that for 26 miles, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how much effort that whole, it takes for your whole body to get into that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, do you... Do you kind of mentor people a lot and kind of offer advice?
I think a lot of people come to me. I never really try to seek out, like, as, oh, I'm going to train people or something like that. But I think some people know where I've come from and where they're at, or maybe they're struggling. So I certainly have had a lot of people ask me for advice. You know what I mean? That's first, like, how do I do it? What do I do? You know, that kind of, for sure. Yeah, people will. Or they even maybe, like, people that I work with maybe just knew that I was a bigger guy and I run. Or just maybe just the fact that you run every day.
Right.
How do you do that?
Exactly.
They're trying to do that. But the weight piece of it for sure comes into play. But people sometimes, you know, or people ask you advice, like, they start up running and then, like, well, I don't feel like doing it anymore, Barry. What do I do? And I'm like...
So to me, one of the things that I find inspiring about you, Barry, and from what I do know about you, you have a lot of experiences. You know, you've had the weight thing. You ran a ton of marathons. You run every day. Talk about 50, 60 miles being just kind of ho-hum, but that's a lot of miles for most people. So you're able to, I think, speak to a lot of different things very well. And now, of course, you know, you're just 48, so you've been doing this for a long time now. So you've got some just pure running experience as well. So you're able to attack it at a lot of different angles with regards to advice and stuff. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, certainly different angles. And just hanging out with you guys, or hanging out with the guys that are the local elite guys, they've kind of helped me along, like, watching what they do and maybe how I can do it. And then I also have the perspective of just the average Joe everyday runner that's just not looking to get in the top of their age group or whatever. Their goals are just to finish it, or finish it in 2.5 hours, or finish it in 2 hours, or whatever their goals are. Because I think I can relate to it, because I've ran half marathons in 2 hours and 20 some minutes and worked my butt off the whole way. And I've ran 1 hour and 24 minutes and I felt like that one was easier than the 2:20, you know? So I know what it feels like to, you know, as far as all that goes, but just making it a lifestyle thing and just a part of your life, you know.
Who was there anybody who kind of inspired you when you got started? Was there somebody you looked up to, even whether personally that you knew, or even just kind of one of those fantasy figures, you know, like Prefontaine poster on my wall or whatever, you know?
I don't really think that I really had any certain, like, superheroes, you know. I think I liked, like, I mean, I used to get Runner's World all the time and just liked all the different people, but there wasn't really any set one person. If anybody helped me, was my dad had his ex-wife when I was a kid, and when I struggled with weight then, she was an exerciser, you know. She did racquetball, she ran, she did this, and that was someone I think that kind of got me into just the mode of exercising before I even went in the military, of just using that, because some people just don't even know how to exercise, you know. Where she was just like a role model for me, was my, when I was probably, you know, 13, 14 years old, was just, I mean, that's probably when it started too, you know, as far as just exercising and using it as, because I struggled with my weight and I would use it as a way to try to work through that, you know, as a kid, you know, so.
Yeah. But did you play a lot of sports?
I didn't play any sports growing up at all, so
that
was kind of, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. To me, that adds to the interest of your story, to be honest with you. To do what you're doing now, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So
it really does speak to, like, to me, like, gosh, anybody can do things. Yeah. You know, you put your mind to whatever it is you want to do, you go out there and
and I think to me the biggest, one of the biggest other things I forget to mention too is just the friendship it brings to you, you know, with the guys.
Yeah.
And you know, like people have a certain common thing, like, you know, maybe it's golfing or it doesn't have to be sports or whatever. So, you know, it be, for me, it's kind of the running, and I always think that as a community, the running community as a whole just seems to be just a great group of people. They tend to be nicest group of people I ever run into. You know, it's hard to find a person that runs and makes it a big part of their life, a lifestyle, that isn't a nice person. You know what I mean? They tend to be a nice group of people.
It's really nice to find somebody too, like say if you're at a, like a party or an event or something like that, and you look around and you're like, oh, I bet you that person's a runner, and you go talk to them and they are, and then boom, like conversation just flows.
And just being involved in it, I think of some of these races, even if I'm not in the race itself, is just, it's to me, it's kind of, it's exciting to me, you know, like our, you go to the, you know, the, even when I've been involved with pacing for, you know, the Sawtooth 100 or something like that, even though I'm not, and, but it's just kind of fun in that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I think I just, you know, for me, it just, that's kind of my sport. I think that just is, makes it that much better. It's race day. Like, you know what I mean? That little, you know, I think that's, it's hard to duplicate that, you know, in the morning of getting ready and just riding the bus or talking to people, everybody's anxious at the start line. What's your, what are you looking at? What's your time and all that stuff? And in the end, you're really just competing against most of us. There's a few people that are trying to win it, but most of us are really just competing against ourselves, you know, in our own.
Yeah.
And that's what I do like that aspect of it is, you know, competing with yourself and your mind of what you really, limitations of what you really can do on that day.
So. Yeah, exactly.
It might be like the mental health component of why runners are, you know, nice people, for instance. Of, I mean, you talk to any runner, like, does running make you feel good? Like, right? It's like no secret, you know.
And,
too, you know, it's like, if I can get through that marathon, I can get through this, you know, like, rough patch of my life or something like that.
For sure, you use it all. You use running in different parts of your life, you know, because it's just like running these races, and you can break down the races, and especially when you get the longer the distance go.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing of, we all want to stop, right? You know what I mean? But there's this thing of, you work so hard for it, the accomplishment, and nothing beats the finish line of a race, especially the longer the race goes on for most people.
Right.
That finish line just becomes that much sweeter at the end.
Right.
Knowing that, you know, that you didn't give up, you didn't quit, you just kept on going, you know?
And
that's the aspect of,
That's
when you try to figure out, why do we do this? You know, it's like, why do people do it? Because other people don't want to do it. It hurts. It hurts for everybody, but, you know,
it's
a sense of accomplishment and, you know, pushing your body to its limits and, you know.
It can be kind of illogical at times.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to go run for 5 miles. Like, why? But it's so worth it, and it's such a great feeling, especially afterwards, and you're so proud of yourself that you did it.
It is a light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, you know, trying to come through it. You're running through it. You can't see anything, but you can see that light, and when you see the finish line, to me, that's that light, you know.
Yeah.
And it does kind of just, you know, the sense of accomplishment of finishing it, you know, so.
It's cool that you can kind of recognize, like, why you do it personally, you know, and kind of have that hierarchy of, like, you know, mental health, weight control, the camaraderie with the boys, and then, like, the races, competing with yourself, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we all come into it a little bit differently, right? You know, some guys are just so competitive, they're really just, they're trying to figure out, you know, can I be up and get, can I win the race or be on the podium or something like that, you know? I mean, I always want to do well.
Yeah.
To me, I look at maybe my age group sometimes, but, I mean, it's not like, I'm still realistic of my age and all these things like that, but, you know.
Do you think that kind of from a weight control perspective, running is an especially good activity, or do you find just because you enjoy it and that's something that you can get into your daily routine, that's why it works for you?
Yeah, I think it's a balance for sure, because I always go back to it too, with people, you know, because the more you exercise, the hungrier you are, right? So it's kind of this balance of, I mean, I do, people do say that too, you know, it's like, and I also think is the one thing that I did change over time was maybe say 10, 15 years ago, I would be, you know, or I would train for a race and maybe say I did a long run. Maybe it was 10 miles for a half marathon, or maybe it was 20 for a full. A lot of times I would end up rewarding myself with some kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And like, I mean, I'd be like, you know, I run a 20 mile thing. It's like, I'm going to go eat, and you probably would eat double what you did.
Yeah.
And I've kind of over time have kind of learned that, you know, I could run a 20 miler on Saturdays and I'm not trying to reward myself. Like, you know, if I'm hungry, you eat, but I would never, but in the past, I think sometimes I think that was something I've changed over time, was sometimes you can think, well, I'm exercising, I'm running this much, I can eat this much, you know, so it's kind of a, But it is a little bit of a fine line because, you know, I know it, and you probably know it, as you mileage goes up, you get, I mean, your body wants the calories back, right? Yeah. So it's this balance of you can't really starve yourself when your body needs the nutrition, and right. you know, and then also just trying to make sure you're making, I try to make good decisions, you know, where you just, because there's a lot of people that run that can also just, you can just still try to get reckless with your eating, right?
Right.
You know, eating like all the wrong foods. I mean, there's elite athletes, I read stuff where their last thing that they got in order was the nutrition, right? They were eating McDonald's. Right. Like some of these pro athletes that were like eating at McDonald's every day, but yet still like going to Olympics, and you're thinking, how'd you do it? But anyway, but you think of that's one of those things certainly to clean up if you want to do a little bit better or something. But
yeah.
It is a balance for sure. I've read a lot of books on nutrition and a lot of exercise books on how to get faster. But some of the stuff is just the nutrition part of it too, and the mental aspect of it. But for sure.
Yeah. I guess to back up, you kind of mentioned how maybe the last 10 years was a shift in your own running from, you know, less of a, I'm just going to try this marathon, just like check it off the bucket list, to more of like, this is my lifestyle component and more of like racing.
Yeah, I think.
How'd you move to into
I think,
that?
I think what happened was when I was I would go back to, if I was like a 200, 205 pound runner, I couldn't really run every day without having some kind of injury come up. A knee was hurting, this was hurting. It wouldn't shut me down, but it would maybe like all of a sudden I had to take 2 days off.
Right.
And so when I wake up below 200 pounds, I was able to start running. That was my thing, is that when I got 200 pounds, I could run daily. And as I run daily, your mileage went up.
Right.
And as my miles went up, your races, you know, it wasn't so much I was actually trying to on purpose get faster, but you just got faster.
Sure.
And as you're getting faster, that's the thing about it. And that's the thing about it. It came in my 40s, so now I'm 48. I wish I would have known this when I was 28, right? Because it's like, it's hard when you're fighting father time at the same time.
Right.
But
yeah.
Just putting in more, like it's nothing is better than every race. There was a, I don't know how many years ago, it was like maybe 4 years ago. And it was like every distance I hit, it was a PR.
Oh, yeah.
And that is just, and that just pushes you like, then that, it just motivates you that much more. You know what I mean? And just, and as you get faster, they get the times are a little bit harder. You know, I look at them now and it's like, well, I could do it, but I just, now I know what the work is. But it was just, that's so motivating too. It was just when I got my weight below 200 pounds, I was able to put in more mileage, which just to me, people sometimes are looking at the other part of it, ask me like my opinion on how do you get faster. And some people, maybe they're running 20, 30 miles a week and they're going to the track and doing all that stuff. And I'm not saying that isn't going to get you faster for a marathon, but I said, if you want my perspective of it, increase your miles. You know what I mean? It's time on your feet, the long runs and things like that. I'm not saying that it isn't like go to the track and do the mile repeats and all those things like that. But, you know, sometimes people that are, they're like, you know, they want to go out and get faster. I said, I'll tell you how you get faster. You just start, you just got to put the miles in.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Put in extra miles. Not, you know, so that was my, when they come to me for my experiences.
I believe that.
At some point, once you have the miles in, then that's where you got to fine tune it. You start doing the speed work and all that.
Right.
But if you're doing on X amount of miles, it's hard to run a sub 3 hour marathon and 25 miles a week. You know, you just have to be realistic of it.
Right.
That's one thing I would say when we line up was if you line people up and you say, we're pretty much the same age, and you look at what everybody that come across the same time on a 10K half marathon, if you were able to kind of compare your notes with that person, you're probably, your miles are pretty close, your speed work's pretty close. You know what I mean?
There is an
aspect of talent.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I like of, I was saying to my daughter who runs cross country, I said, with running, it's one thing in life, you get out of it what you put into it.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, and I'm not trying to say, not everybody wants to put in 50 miles a week, and that's okay. But it, I mean, there's part of it, if you want to get to a certain thing, it's, you got to put the time into it, just like other aspects of life. You want to get good at something, you got to put the time in.
So in kind of your peak, say marathon, half marathon and marathoning days, how many miles a week would you do?
I think, you know, like my PR for my marathon, I think that was, I think I was up to 80.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was not just like a 50 to 80. I mean, I kind of was, the week before was 75, 70, so like 80, I think. And I was kind of in that borderline, because this was only like 4 or 5 years ago, so I was like 43 then.
Right.
And so I was kind of in that borderline where stuff was starting to pop, like this kind of hurt a little bit, you know what I mean? I was on that fringe of, you knew that it was like you were making it through your runs, but you were just, I was like, ooh, if I went up to like a, if I tried to creep up a little bit more, I don't know, I might get injured here. Because you can just, you start feeling.
Fringery, I call that a fringery. That's where you want to be.
No, it is. It's like, yeah, there's peak. That's what those elites do, don't they? They're, it's like they're just, if there's that fine line between injury and the PR or your best race. You know, so.
The fringe of injury, fringery.
And I could feel it, your knee, your foot. What's going on with this foot? Feels weird today. Yeah. You know, it hurts and then you kind of kicks out or whatever.
Right.
It's
like, so do you have any kind of lofty goals still to do? Are you feel like once we get to the peer racing stuff, like what's your aspirations for all the, for the rest of the
I
next
still would love
two, three
to do
years?
A sub 3 hour marathon. That'd be my, you know, my marathon PR is 3:05. I know it would take a lot of work and dedication and probably getting my weight down just a little bit more, you know, but that's I would 3:05 was my I did that like 4 or 5 years ago. For that was my PR, and I would just like, that's kind of like in this in my brain, it's kind of like, of course, you know, everybody does that. Once you get the 3 hours, you want
2:55.
I know how that goes, because I've had people tell me, it's like, Barry, I want to get, because I, you know, go under 1:30 on the half marathon or this or that, and they've been working on it. I said, just so you know, or 1:45, whatever it is, just so you know, once you hit it, you're going to, because I mean, I was like doing that when I was, you know, running my marathons, you know, I was getting a little bit faster each one, and I was like, because when I never really had any, in the beginning, my goals were never like, oh, I want to run Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, as your times come down, you start thinking, when I was starting to come into play, like maybe I could. I was just kind of the everyday runner, and then as my times are getting faster, so you never know. But I guess for me, if I could get a 3 hour sub marathon, would be like my ultimate goal. Can I get there? Do I want to put the time in? You know, I think I do. Would be it's a reasonable goal. It would take a lot of work at my age, but it's not like it's, you know, certainly.
Yeah.
There.
I'm in the exact same boat. You know, I'm 49. So we're like the same age, and I too am trying to get a 3 hour marathon here in the next
few
years.
I have to buckle down and just, you know, it'd have to be like, you got it. You know, I mean, there's no playing around, and just, you know, get the thing out and the sheet, and you got to follow it to a T, and you know, see what I know. I have it in me. It just has to be willing to put in the work.
Like you say though, with Father Time, like I feel like there's a window, and I feel like I have the ability, but I feel like that window's probably a little smaller now than, you know, it was like 5 or 10 years ago. Yeah. So I've got to make the most of what time I've got here.
So you mentioned, you know, on a marathon PR kind of lead up, you hit 80 miles a week and you start feeling the twinge of injury. Well, do you think if you got that sub 3, especially with Father Time, and chime in, Tony, does that take 90 miles or 100 mile week to get there?
No.
Yeah, I think it'd be something pretty similar.
Tony,
it'd be similar because I think my base is almost, when I did that, I mean, I had a few years in me, but I went really quick. And all of a sudden, you know, like, so I went from a PR of like 3:23.
Just dolloping time.
I went from 3:18.
Yeah.
To 3:05.
Right.
It was one of those things, like I was actually running that marathon.
Yeah.
And I was like, towards, like, I was on mile 15, like, what am I doing? Like, but it just feels, you know, it feels right, and you're just going. It was mile 18. It was like, it literally was like mile 22 that I actually felt like I needed a 3:10 or 3:15, 3:10
to qualify
back then, because I was like 40 then, you know.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I got it, because I was just thinking I was going to blow up, but at the same time, I felt right. The temperature, I had everything kind of lined up. I mean, the temperatures were like 42 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the course I went on was kind of set up for Boston. It was a loop course and all this stuff. But anyways, but it was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think I would probably do more, maybe... I'm not sure how much speed work I did back then. I think I'd be limited to once a week, though. I still think at my age, you know, I know some of my friends can do 2 a week with a long run. I just think that not so much an injury thing for me. What happens to me is I get really tired, and I get where I can't hit that second workout then. You know, I go to do it, and it just is like, you're just, or you can do it for 2 weeks, and then the third week, you know, you start doing like people that do like, I'd like to think I could do the Hansen's plan or whatever, and I think, man, they got like 2-3 quality. You know, when they go full-fledged, like the elite one on that one, they don't play around, you know, with you know, 2 quality workouts, and then sometimes your long run, which is maybe not 20, but it's 15, but it's quality on that one, too.
It's
only on one day of rest, you know, so.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's tough. I kind of think of training like sharpening a stick, and like the volume is like taking a hatchet to the stick, you know. You can just get it pretty close, and then like the speed work's like a little pocket knife where you can really you know, hone it in and get it really sharp at the end.
Yeah,
I know that's kind of my mentality sometimes, where you know, you put in the volume, you're gonna get pretty dang good. But then you whip out the pocket knife to sharpen that.
And that's what it really comes down to, too. And those are the days too. You have to be able to, like, that's where, you know, I can get up each morning and run, and it's not that difficult for me.
Yeah.
But to get up and just know you're gonna go hit a speed workout, it takes like a little bit more. You almost have to get the music. Like, to me, I gotta get the music going in the morning. You gotta do the dread, music, like, to get your like. But you know what? You feel so much better once you hit a good workout. Even, you know, it has that, some of that similar thing as race day. You know, so hitting those good workouts and just that, you know, for sure. But you have to, like, you know, mark it down as a goal and you know, write out your training plan. And so I would love to go sub three. That's my dream.
Nice.
Not that I ever want to retire, but that'd be like you know, where you hang, the guy who walks up and hangs up the boxing gloves or the shoes, right? You know,
to leave your shoes on the finish line.
Yeah, there you go. I would. But I'll be back. I'll still be jogging, but you know, I did my sub 3 hour. Right. You know, so, and I, yeah, like Tony says, as each year goes by, you know, it gets harder and harder to do that. You know. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite races that you've done, or your favorite race experiences? You know, do you have any funny stories or interesting stories?
Particularly funny stories other than that one I did before.
Trying
to do a marathon on probably 20 miles a week and a 8 mile long run.
Or just favorite races.
I guess if I had to go off to, like, Whistle Stop is one I really like. I just it's one of those ones too. I always laugh because I always think of people whenever I talk about Whistle Stop. I've done the half there maybe like 5 times and the full a couple times. Is people tend to either love that race or hate that because it has that terrain of a little bit of give to it, and some people like. And I think, I always tell people, for me, I think it actually, even whatever you lose on the, you know, just a little bit on the dirt, I think you gain back in muscle fatigue later in the race. At least for me, maybe some people's bodies work pretty well with it.
Versus pavement, pounding the pavement.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I've ran, you know, I've ran Chicago Marathon, I've ran Boston. So I do love, like, some of those huge races where there's tons of people and you're just, you know, you're running next to people.
Yeah.
And then I don't mind running the Whistle Stop, or I've ran a couple races. Wabagon Trail, which is down in St. Cloud. Yeah. And that's another one that's maybe like 300 people. On the, and, you know, after you're probably 4 miles in, you're kind of on yourself, you know. Yeah. And I don't mind that either because, like, you're just kind of on a long training run and maybe have people cheering for me. So I kind of like them. I like them all, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, I certainly do like the race where everybody's cheering for you on the side of the road, but I can also sometimes you just feel like chilling out and just doing your own thing, and you don't have to have a lot of crowd support. You know, sometimes those small races are good too, you know.
Is the marathon distance kind of like your cream of the crop, like your favorite?
I think my favorite distance, I have to say, would be the half. I like running marathons. I usually run like a couple, two or three a year. But I always, you know, I always say is I love the half marathon distance. I think it's my favorite distance. I think it's my best distance. If you kind of look at, when you look at all your PRs, like what is your distance that you seem to excel at the best? Right. Like, it doesn't equal, I think, the half. The full, I like training for the fulls more than actually. I mean, I like running a full.
Yeah.
But I like the training aspect of it because it does make, because it gives me that, I do like those 18 to 20 milers training runs.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, I'm doing more, like, 12 to 16. It's harder for me to get myself to talk myself into doing 20s for no race.
Right.
And so when it comes to the full, I love training for fulls. The race itself, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, but I do, I mean, I, you know, I've had some ones at the end. You're just trying to struggle and just everything's, the wheels are coming off the bus, you know, on the halves, if that happens. Usually it's the last few miles, right? You know, but on the fulls, I've had, like, I literally have been on mile, like, 15, and I'm like, I mean, how am I going to go 11 more? You know what I mean? Right. So, but I like training for them. I do like the half and the full probably are my distances, but like, cause it just, you know, and this on the weekends, I do like running with the guys on the weekends and, running the 2+ hour runs, you know, and just sometimes chatting the whole way and get back to the car and you're still talking, you know, you know, I always think we're, you know, it's kind of funny sometimes we're ran for 2+ hours. sometimes even close to 3, and you get you out to your car and it's 10 degrees out and you're still talking for 10 more minutes. Like, did we not talk about it? I'll text you guys later. You know, my friend Bob was always like that. You know, he's laugh because he's a talker. I'm a talker. He's a talker.
Yeah, yeah.
But we literally run like 2.5-3 hours, and he would, we get back to the car and he just keeps on going. It's like, Bob, I'm going to have to go here, buddy.
I got an agenda here.
Right, yeah. Just keep on going. So I do laugh at that sometimes. Like, yeah. Man, like we didn't, we had all the 3 hours of talk. We just didn't have enough time.
Right? Yeah,
you
right.
don't even know what you get back, and you're just randomly talking about silly things, or you're just goofing off. And so, mm-hmm. to me, I just love that part of the running part too. It's
yeah.
not so much even the actual running, but it's just the running and
community camaraderie.
Sometimes you might not even,
yeah.
you know. And I think those things help me get out the door. And I just actually right. sometimes I look forward to those long runs on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I can, yeah, it could be a Wednesday and I'm looking forward to that. Like, oh, you know, just like that friendship and joking or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
just knowing it's, you know, I mean, I can do my long runs on my own, but it, you know, it just goes so much faster and it's so much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
You got other guys to chat with, you know, sometimes a 2.5-hour run doesn't feel like. You tell someone else, like, 2 hours, how do you go out there and do that? And it's like, you know, it's like when you have your friends with you and all that. And
yeah.
I
yeah.
just, you know, something I just really enjoy, and I continue to always look forward to those, you know. So.
You seem fairly regimented, Barry, but I want to ask if you ever feel like you don't want to go out, like, ugh, I just don't feel like it today. Like, what yeah. sort of tricks do you use or tactics yeah. to get out the door?
People have asked me that before, and I think that I always kind of laugh. It's kind of a simple thing. I said, well, what do you do when you get into this running lull? And I think we all do it. Is my thing is I just say, I lace up my shoes and go, you know, because I always think that, I think mentally I tell myself, even if I don't want to, that how much better I will feel throughout that day and how much different, you know, if I don't do it, I'll be kind of disappointed.
Right.
So I think a lot of times I always think, you know, don't trust that first mile, those old cliches. But I just know that usually, if I don't feel like it, it's after that first mile, you're happy. And it's pretty rare that you ever regret a run you didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, but you regret regret a run you did do. Compared to the other way. So sometimes
right,
if you didn't
right,
get out,
right,
you feel disappointed in yourself. Why did I really, you know, if you need that day off for sure, but if you're just feeling lazy, you don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know that it's kind of like this mental thing you play in your mind. You know what I mean? It's like, am I weak or what's going on?
Yeah.
Just don't do it. You'll feel better.
Right.
And sometimes, yeah, just to me, it's like, then I'll tell myself, you know what? Just go run like 3 or 4 miles. And once I get out there, a lot of times I end up being like 7 or 8. You know what I mean? Just getting
yeah.
out there, like, you know, changing your distance. You
yeah.
know, so.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah, that is that's interesting. Like, I've never regretted going for a run.
Yeah.
Ever, I don't think.
Right? Yeah, even, how many times you go, you might, you know, I always tell myself, it's like, you know, you might not always feel better, but you certainly aren't going to feel worse that you did it, right? So, I guess there's a mental part of it, you know, with exercise, you know.
Yeah.
For sure, trying to get out there. I just know that it's just part of my life, and I just think that it's really, you know, back when I was heavy, there was probably a big thing of depression with it and just, you know, my focus in life. And so I just know that it just brings so much to my life. It sounds kind of like cliche we're talking about it, but it is. It brings so much to my life that I don't want to. I just keep on getting up and going and just know that I can make it a habit, you know. So it's
yeah.
It feels weird to not do it. And I think that's you can get yourself to. You know, I always said sometimes people, when I used to exercise, I always thought it was kind of a chore and a thing you did and all that, you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
and now I just feel like it's just part of what I do, you know, just like you get up and eat, you put your clothes on, you take a shower.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever whatever your routine is for the day, you go to work. I mean, you just make it into part of your day. And
right.
So that's what I think in my mind, I've tried to do that, or hope it is that way. I think it is.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely.
So
yeah. What are your plans for 2020, the rest of 2020?
I would think let my body rest up and just do the 40 to 60, 55 miles a week. Hopefully, see what happens with everything. Sign up for Boston again. Hopefully, mm-hmm. Boston in April. We don't know if there's going to be races in April right now. It's kind of that thing. But, yeah, just kind of let my body reset. I've worked with a little bit of an injury. I have a piriformis thing going on, and I've gone mm-hmm. to PT for that. So let my body just recover from that. And it's like I said to Dave, I'm like, you know, he's got a new child, and mm-hmm. he's taking his miles down, and I've my miles aren't quite, maybe, like, are just kind of easy miles. And I said, maybe it's a good year to have a little bit of a downtime, let our bodies kind of reset and see what next year holds.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good perspective for this kind of a year. And hopefully it kind of extends everybody's running career. Yeah. You know?
Let your bodies recover, but not, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, slide back. You know, it's kind of a happy medium of,
right,
not just going right to the couch and sleeping each day and, you know, and going back to things I did in the past, and all of a sudden come in January, like, okay, I'm going to, January 1st, I'm going to get back in shape again, right? So just kind of maintaining that, you know, the fitness level, I think, is, you know, is the biggest thing, is, you know, not trying to maintain what I have and not lose it.
Yeah.
So when you go to do the race, that's what I always said, you know, so you're not spending 4 months trying to get back in shape, you know?
Well, I think in with regards to just training in general, and with, say, yearly amount of running, maintaining is a really important word that people sometimes forget about. We always kind of think about more improvements and kind of ramping up our mileage and all this, but just maintaining mileage is actually extremely beneficial too, and I think sometimes we forget about that. So
yeah, I always tell people, it's kind of like running is like a little bit of a foundation. You built it over time. At least the people that I have just been around and just watch others around me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a foundation, so it's not always built on what you're doing today and tomorrow. It's built on what you've done the years coming up into it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a part of what running is. So to me, it's like, just keep on running each day and keep at it, and just knowing that, it, you know, you're not going to lose a lot, you know, over this time. So
yeah,
it's cool.
Well, I think that's a great place to end. You know, hopefully people take those words to heed those words a little bit and take them to heart, because because I believe 100% in that approach. So
definitely,
Barry, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great to have you on. Appreciate it. All right, and that wraps up episode number 24 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Our thanks to Barry Brokaw for joining us for the interview section. Really cool talk with Barry. Hopefully, you know, everybody enjoyed that, and I'm sure a lot of you folks know Barry from the local racing scene. Mike, thank you for your work. Would you have anything else to add?
You know, not really. The last thing I'll just add is I hope everyone can get out for some high-quality running in the next 3 weeks. And you know what? Talking to Barry, I'm motivated. I got to get out in the mornings, like he said. I've been slacking. My miles have slipped. So I'm excited to get out and, you know, if nothing else, just for my own mental health and to stay motivated. So he's right. He's right. And I think everyone else knows it. So that's what I got to say.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.